Welcome to Basic Gospel Radio, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, here to welcome you to our weekly teaching edition as we study through the pages of the New Covenant Journey Study Guide. If you don't yet have your copy, just go online to basicgospel.net/teaching. Again, that's basicgospel.net/teaching. And a reminder for those of you who had planned to call today, the phone lines are not open today so that everyone can listen and benefit from this study. So with that, it's Basic Gospel's Friday Teaching Edition, everybody. And now here's Bob Christopher.
God's people, our new identity in Christ. That's the chapter that we're studying through right now, chapter 8. We're actually on page 89. If you have been joining along with us, we're going to pick up on page 89 under the section Attacks on Our Identity. The good news of the gospel is that we've been given a new identity. Anyone who receives Christ, to all who receive him, he's given the right to become children of God. Mm-hmm. That's who we are. So we have a brand new identity. I came across this quote this week by Henry Nguyen. It's from his book, Here and Now, Living in the Spirit. And he says this, Jesus came to announce to us that an identity based on success, popularity, and power is a false identity, an illusion. Loudly and clearly, he said, you are not what the world makes you, but you are children of God.
Yeah.
And that's something that we really need to embrace. Mm-hmm. You know, that's one of the big three questions. Who am I? You know, Adam and Eve weren't asking that question before the fall. They knew exactly who they were, and it was all based on their relationship with God the Father. They knew they were in relationship. They knew they derived their identity from him. They knew that they were reflecting his image out there into the world. That's how God created them. Yet sin came into the picture. They decided to live in independence, and that knocked them off their game as far as their identity was concerned. They didn't know who they were, and that's the same question that we ask. Why? Because we don't know who we are. That's why we attach ourselves to so many different things out there in the world. Things that we do. I'm a teacher. I'm an athlete. I'm a model. I'm, you know, we have all of these different things that we say that we are.
Yes.
And then there's other identities that are out there. You know, if you have a particular bad habit, you identify with that habit. I'm an alcoholic. I'm a drug addict. That's still an identity. That's an answer to that question, who am I? But God has given us an identity that is certain, that is eternal, that is unshakable. And when we embrace that, then we can rise above all the things that are out there in the world, all the things that are trying to trip us up. And that's exactly what Satan, the world, and the flesh try to do. They try to trip us up as far as our identity is concerned.
Absolutely.
So that's why we have this particular section, Attacks on Our Identity. And so last week, we talked about the first question, what do you know about yourself after salvation? And here's this powerful verse, 1 Corinthians 6:11, that says that we were washed, we were sanctified, we were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God.
Yes.
So God's Spirit did something to us, didn't
it? Yes. Changed everything.
Changed everything. He washed us clean. And so we're not dirty. We're no longer far away from God. We've been made clean, and now we're near to God. We've been sanctified, set apart for a relationship with him, justified, declared righteous in the sight of God. It doesn't get any better than that.
No.
So as a child of God, all of these things are true about us. So to fend off the fiery darts of our enemy, the temptations of the flesh and the temptations of the world, we need to be anchored in this truth.
Yes.
Without having an anchor here, we're prone to drift.
Yes.
And any identity that sounds good, we will gravitate toward.
Yes, apart from this identity, none of the other questions can be answered with any sense at all.
That's exactly.
Because I have to answer those questions from a standpoint of who I am. If I don't know who I am, I can't answer the question.
Yeah, you don't know your purpose and you don't know your destiny. You're going to be confused on all of those points. So
yes.
It starts with identity. So how does Satan attack our identity? And last week we read Romans 8:33-34. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is it that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. So as far as God is concerned, there is no charge against us.
Nope.
We have Jesus Christ at the right hand of God the Father, always interceding for us, yet we have an enemy.
Yes.
And what the enemy does is accuses us. Mm-hmm. He brings accusations against us. And a lot of those accusations are meant to undermine our identity
yes.
in Christ. They are specifically, I guess, thought of in his mind to bring about a wrong idea about who we are
yes.
in Christ. That's exactly why Satan has devised those particular attacks. So now we're going to go on to the top of page 90 and go into question 3 of this particular section. And we have a great passage, Galatians 5:17. And this is one of the most significant passages in the Word of God concerning yeah. the spiritual warfare that we're all engaged in and how to win that battle, how to stand in the victory that is ours in Christ Jesus. So here we set the stage as to what this battle is all about, who are the players, so to speak, and where we need to take our stand as far as victory is concerned. So how does Paul describe this situation? Richard, why don't you just read
sure.
this passage for us?
For the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want.
Okay. So we have the desires of the flesh, and we have the desires of the spirit. Those two are at the opposite ends of the spectrum.
Yes.
Now, as a child of God, we are in the spirit.
Yes.
But we're housed in a body of flesh. Mm-hmm. So just to go over briefly what's happened to us when we come to Christ by faith, we're born again of the spirit.
Yes.
So these dead spirits that were separated from the life of God are quickened. They are raised to life. And then they are joined with God's Holy Spirit. So there is a union that takes place. Our spirit enmeshed in with God's spirit.
Yes.
They are one. And so that is a bond that can never be broken. And so that deposit of the Holy Spirit is a guarantee of what is to come, not only here and now, but in the heavenly realms as well.
Yes.
So our life after death. So we have this union, and that's who we are. We're new creatures in Christ. That's what's known as a child of God. Well, that new identity, that new creature is housed in a body of flesh. So there's sin living in our members. Paul talks about that in Romans 6.
Yes.
Now, that sin living in our members or the flesh is opposed to this new creation called child of God, whom is being led by the Spirit, whom is filled with the desires of the Spirit.
Yes.
So there's the conflict. There's the battle.
But there's also a piece of good news in there. You are a child of God, therefore you can recognize the conflict. If you weren't a child of God, there'd be no conflict.
That's right. You're not your flesh.
Correct.
You're this child of God, this union with God's Spirit. Mm-hmm. That's who you are. The one that was washed, sanctified, justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the work of God's Spirit.
Yes.
And that work is never going to be undone. It's never going to unravel. It's never going to come apart. Why? Because it's held together. It's held in place by the Spirit of God. Mm-hmm. So we're spirit beings with a new identity, Christ Jesus alive, living in us. And yet we're housed in a body of flesh.
Yes.
So there's a conflict. How do we win the conflict? Well, we walk in the Spirit.
Yes.
And when we walk in the Spirit, what does that mean? We live out who we are as children of God. That's what it means. We were once darkness. Now we are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. That's what it means to walk in the Spirit.
Yes.
And so as we walk in the Spirit, we will not be gratifying the desires of the flesh. we will not be giving in to the attacks of Satan against our identity. And that's a powerful thing.
Yeah.
So we try to battle Satan head on. Well, every time we do, we lose that battle. Mm-hmm. But if we will walk in the Spirit is going to win that battle every time, and we're going to be the beneficiary.
Yes.
We're going to see the fruit of the Spirit being lived out in us, and we're going to be living in this world as children of God. That life is going to be pouring out of us. So that's where the victory comes. As we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. But Satan continues. He continues to pound away. His quiver is full of arrows, and he just keeps pulling them out and shooting them at us.
Yes.
And we can fend them off as we stand confidently in who we are in Christ Jesus. Now, we ask a question, how do these attacks reveal themselves in your family, in your job, at school, in advertising of all types, at church? And it's very important for us to have some discernment and to be able to understand the schemes of Satan. So he's going to attack our identity. So say you sin, Richard. What is Satan going to do to try to attack your identity as a child of God?
Well, he's going to first encourage me to do the sin. And then when I've done it, he's going to turn around and say, well, what were you thinking? I thought you were a child of God. Apparently you're not. And you start this argument with yourself, and you can't enter into that argument because he's going to win. He knows how to push all of my buttons so that I end up with my tongue hanging out on the floor and wondering why God hasn't killed me yet. But that's his attempt to kill me when he knows that I can't be killed because
right.
I belong to
right.
Jesus.
And it comes in the form of the accusation, right?
The accusation,
right?
And so, the condemnation.
You know, how can you call yourself a Christian and do that? How
yeah.
can you call yourself a Christian and think that?
Yes.
And we battle that all the time. Every single Christian goes through that.
Yes.
We have these conversations in our mind, and we think it's just with ourselves, but it's actually Satan
yes.
bringing those accusations
yeah.
to us.
It usually sounds like, well, Richard, I'm talking to myself, Richard, how could you have done that?
Right, absolutely. Well, that's just Satan talking to you through the
My
flesh,
voice,
through sin,
yes.
through the temptations of this world. And so if you start judging yourself based on those accusations, then you're going to start judging others within
yes.
your family situation.
Mm-hmm.
So this is how the attacks on your identity can mess up good, strong relationships with
yes.
your wife, your kids, your parents, all of those sort of things. We see it in our jobs as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we get down on ourselves. That is such a common trait for all of us. And
yeah.
it's so easy. We start up here with these high expectations, and then the realities of life hit us. We get mad at ourselves. We get fearful that, hey, we're never going to live out our dreams and expectations. We get down there into that pit of self-pity, and we're so vulnerable to anything Satan brings our way at that particular moment.
Yes.
And it can affect us on our jobs. It can affect how we carry out the assignments and tasks that we have before us. We can see it at school, and certainly advertising feeds into all
oh, yeah.
of these attacks.
Yeah, advertising wouldn't work if it didn't touch on some perceived need that I have, which isn't really a need at all.
Absolutely. It's an illusion, as
yes.
Henry Nouwen was saying. It's a false identity. I mean, we want to be like, you know, that guy that's all buff, and, you know, if I could be like him, I would really be somebody.
Yeah.
Well, and then you get to be like him, and then you realize, well, I'm still empty.
Uh-huh.
You know, I need something more. And you can look at a guy and that's on a commercial that's successful, and everything looks like, you know, is going his way, and you think, if only I could have more success and more money, and then you get it and you realize that's not the answer either.
Yes.
Those really are illusions. There's no real identity attached to any of those things. That's why we have to keep coming back to the fact of who we are in Christ. And then we certainly see it in church.
Yes.
You know, as believers, we're not content with that identity as child of God. I want to be a Baptist child of God. because, you know, those are really spiritual folks. Yes. Or I want to be a Catholic child of God, or I want to be a Methodist child of God, or I want to be a Pentecostal child of God. So we have all of these other identities. Well, there's not going to be Pentecostals in heaven. There's not going to be Catholics in heaven. There's going to be born-again believers who attended Catholic churches, who attended Methodist churches or Baptist churches. They're saved, not because of their identification with the church, but because of their identification with Christ.
Yes.
So we're not going to have those religious labels up in heaven. We're just going to be seen as children of
yes.
God.
And you have to watch out, particularly in churches, because we all mean so well of buying into the do more, be more, accomplish more for Jesus mentality. It's if you do that, it will attack your identity and you will find yourself in the pit of despair.
Yeah.
Because you can never measure up
no.
to your own expectations or anyone else's.
No. I love what Jesus said to Peter, upon this rock, I will build my church.
Yes.
So Jesus is the one building the church. We're just being used
yes.
To help build it. He's given us a role, a task, an assignment, and we carry that out as children of God. And because we're children of God, we've been allowed to work in the family business.
Yes.
The fact that we are advancing the gospel, the fact that we are reaching out and meeting the needs of others is proof that we truly belong to Christ. Mm-hmm. Why? Because he said, I've deemed you responsible as a child of God
yeah.
to carry out this work. So it's an incredible thing to hold this identity. And the interesting part is we didn't do anything to earn it.
No.
We were born into it.
Mm-hmm.
We were born again into the family of God, and we were declared to be children of God, adopted as sons. Boy, is that ever
yeah, it
good
is.
News. So let that sink in. Let it really sink in. And when it does, man, your spiritual chest will kind of bow out and you'll think, gosh, I'm a child of God.
Mm-hmm.
Not because of what I've done, but because of the work of Jesus. And you'll just praise him. Thank you for making me a child of God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this next section, how to overcome attacks on your identity. And by the way, you're listening to Basic Gospel.
Yes.
Richard Pfeiffer is here. My name is Bob Christopher. This is the teaching edition. We're working through the New Covenant journey. We're talking about our identity in Christ. If you are joining in for the first time, all the information on what we're doing each and every Friday is at basicgospel.net/teaching. So
yes.
you will see the study guide that we're working through. You can actually order it there. You can review past teaching editions. You can get caught up. You can look at the teaching notes that we produce each and every week for the session. So all of that is at basicgospel.net. And also a reminder to our listeners that Basic Gospel is listener-supported radio. If this teaching is ministering to you, if you think it's worth getting out to others, we encourage you to join with us. Give a gift today and become a Basic Gospel partner to help deliver this good news of our identity in Christ to people who are desperately seeking an answer to that question,
yes.
Who am I?
Yes.
You can help solve that problem. You can help answer that question in a very powerful, eternal way by helping support this broadcast. Well, how do you overcome the attacks on your identity? So what does the Holy Spirit do for us? There's a great passage in
yeah.
Romans 8:26,
and I know another this is Romans 8.
I know, and I know this is a significant passage for you, Richard. This is one that you really
yeah.
Embrace and lean into in your day to day walk.
Yeah. Yeah, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. So the Holy Spirit is at all times working in us and through us and translating life for us, translating God to us, and making this all possible. If it wasn't for him, I couldn't speak.
Right. So we have an advocate. We have one who is with us at all times that we can trust. And when we're clueless, when we don't know what to do as far as fending off these attacks, We're simply trusting God's Spirit because He is working on our behalf. And that's what we see in the very next question. What does God do for you? Romans 8:28. If you don't know this passage, folks,
this is one to memorize.
This is definitely one to memorize. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. So God is always at work on our behalf.
Yes.
Situations may look desperate, dire, dark, bleak, all of those things, hopeless. And yet, as a child of God, we know that God is at work on our behalf. To do what? To cause all of these things to work together for our good.
Yes.
Boy, what a promise is that. We're in a no-lose situation, aren't we?
Absolutely.
And that's what it means to be a child of God. Also, Romans 8:31. So we're just making our way through this incredible chapter. When you are attacked, what can you rely on? Romans 8:31. Why don't you read that,
now,
Richard?
What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us?
Yes. So you're a child of God. Mm-hmm. You've been born again into the family of God. So who's your father?
God is.
God, the Holy Spirit, bears witness with your human spirit that indeed is true, that you are a child of God, a heir of God, a co-heir with Jesus Christ.
Yes.
If that's true, then you know this to be true.
Yes.
If God is for you, who can be against you? If you're a child of God, God is for you.
Yes,
period. He is in your corner. Mm-hmm. He wants the best for you. He's working on your behalf to cause all things to work together for good. He sent His Spirit into your heart to, as you said, I love that phrase, to translate God to you and translate that relationship out to others in a very meaningful and impactful way.
Yeah.
God is at work. He is for you. And I know we go through all types of situations in life, and we think that God isn't for us. That's one of the things that Satan tries to get us to believe. How could God be for you thinking that? How could God be for you doing that? Or look at you. You just lost your job. If God was for you, that would have never happened.
But you've done something wrong.
Right. But all of that is just lies.
Just lies.
Pure lies that the enemy is throwing your way. God is for you. He is for you at all times. And when you stand on that, you become more than a conqueror through Him who loved you. That is good news. We need to conquer, to overcome these attacks. And we do it simply by standing in truth.
Yes.
This new identity that we have in Christ. Why can you overcome Satan's attacks? Romans 8:38 and 39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Yeah.
Nothing. You're a child of God. Absolutely nothing can separate you from the love of God. Don't let the enemy move you away from that solid position. You've been anchored there by the Holy Spirit. Stay there. Stay there. Why? Yes. Because that's the hope that will get you through any and every situation. God is for you. He is with you. He is working on your behalf. That's what it means to be a child of God. So, what does John say about all of this? How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God? And that is what we are.
Yes.
Every other identity is a false one. It's an illusion. Don't be swayed by those things. Keep coming back to this truth that you are a child of God. That is who you are in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Well, this is Basic Gospel. Thank you for joining with us on this special teaching edition of Basic Gospel as we're journeying together through the New Covenant Journey Study Guide. Next week, we will move forward to Chapter 9 and take a look at this New Covenant life that we've been called to live, we've been raised to live. Well, have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday for another live edition of Basic Gospel.